Pope Alex Thomas, Wednesday, 11th of July, with the UNICEF News. What does the Torah say about the rise of Islam?
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
It's just wonderful to be here. Thank you for inviting me. And it's a pleasure to be able to speak at a forum which I regard as no less than Kiddush Hashem Yoimi. Rabbi Isai, we address an important question this morning. What does the Torah say about the rise of Islam? Why is this an important question? Because I believe it's one that defines our generation. I was in the Twin Towers a week before 9/11. And when the news reports came flooding in, we knew the world had changed forever. We were now living in a post-9/11 olam. The Pnei Ador is changing, and the times are changing with them. We see in our times the rise of a militant jihadist Islam sweeping across Europe as if Western Christendom is capitulating before its presence. We see a turning of the tides where multiculturalism and the Western morality and culture becomes bankrupt, and in comes the strong belief in Amunah from the East sweeping through Europe as if it's going to become Arabia. And suicidally low birth rates in the West mean, who knows, in the next generation, how many will be the majority and who will be the minority. Reb John Stuart Mill once said that one person with a belief is equal to 100,000 who only have interests. And it's in this backdrop, in this context, that we see this latest zeitgeist, the oncoming, the onslaught of Islam. But nevertheless, we see massive conversion rates. It's the fastest growing faith. In fact, the National Geographic magazine says that now, one in four humans on this planet is a Muslim. Iran said on February the 11th that it's going to deliver a punch that's going to leave the world stunned. Rabbis say, are we running out of time? And what is the proper Torah Ashgofa, the Torah perspective on this issue? We know Torah Hashem Tamima must have the answers to our questions. What is the right attitude to take towards Islam? How do we as Frumiyidin approach this issue in our days? I'd like to divide the shir into three stages, if I may. The first will be to look at why the Jews originally rejected Islamic ideology at its inception. Then we want to move on to the Torah's view of Yishmael, obviously the progenitor of the Muslim people, and look at his spiritual DNA. And last but not least, to assess our hashkofa on this issue and see it in the context of Ikvas of the Mashiach as we go towards Mashiach Tzakenu. Why did the Jews reject Islam? Muhammad lived 650 years after Khurban Bayis Sheni, and he lived in the Arabian Peninsula. He would sit down with his Jewish neighbors over campfires. He and his wife ran a successful caravan business. And they would sit down, he was illiterate, he couldn't write, but he could hear the Torah Shebaal Peh. And the Jews would give stories of the Midrashim, and he would sponge in and soak in all of this information. But the thing was, he was an epileptic. And he would suffer from epilepsy, seizures or fits. And during those fits he said that the Malach Gavriel came to him and told him that he is a Navi, and the chosen people now stops. And now it begins again with Muhammad and his followers. In fact, if you look at the whole chant that they say of Allah Akbar, what's Akbar in Arabic? The root of the word is Kavura, like Gavura. It's the same word. And Allah is Loshen Kael. No wonder we see the militants coming from that Yisoid, his encounter, or his alleged encounter with Gavriel. He discovers a new religion. It has very much Jewish vestiges. And he goes to the Yidden in the time and he says to them, why don't you follow me and adopt my ways? They actually had Friday night services. They davened a special tefillah in Yom Kippur. They changed their Shabbos to Friday, but they davened towards Yerushalayim. All to entice the Yidden. Because everyone wants the Yidden's endorsement. If you're looking for a stamp, a heksher for your religion, you go to the Yidden. Because no one divided the divinity of the Torah and Mamad Har Sinai. They had to get these people on board, but the Yidden rejected it. And the first time we see a really thorough examination of why is in the Rambam's Egeres Temon, the epistle that the Rambam wrote to the community of Yemen in 1172. We see a beautiful exposition to explain why the Jews rejected this new religion. In fact, the early Muslims claimed that there were four Ramazim to their Navi, in quote-unquote, in the Torah. I'll give you one example. It's quite interesting. The Pasuk says in Bereishis, "Uliyishmal shematicha, hine beirachti oisoi befreisi oisoi." I'm going to make you shmal, blessed and fruitful and multiplicitous. Oisoi berbeisi oisoi. I'm going to make him big. He's going to have lots of children. B'ma'oid ma'oid, very much so. And they said, if you look at the gematria of b'ma'oid ma'oid in Lashon HaKodesh, it comes to 92, which is the same as Muhammad in Hebrew Oisius. Problem was, the Quran itself says that the real name of Muhammad was Ahmed, which is only Gematria 53, so there were only a few out. This is one of the Ramazim they claimed. But the Rambam says, and he actually calls their prophet a Meshuggah, look it up inside, he says there's no riot. It was just a nauseating, feeble way to try and park some sort of Makor onto the Torah to say that their religion was true, but it was fallacious in the extreme. Truly asinine. So they were compelled to accuse us of falsehood, and that we distorted our own Torah. And famously they said that it was Akedas Yishmael, not Akedas Yitzchak. And that we changed things. The Rambam says, "Umepnei shalai motzulem tainam mishum ponim, bipsuke mipsuke ha-Torah." They couldn't find any pasuk to hang their eyes on. Loi b'svara, nothing logical to what they were saying. V'loi b'dimyon, kideish yislam emenu hutzruchu loi meshichlifonu ha-Torah. They were forced to say that we somehow distorted our own holy text. Problem is, there are two problems with this. First of all, we know the Septuagint, hundreds of years before Muhammad, the Torah was translated into Greek, into Persian and Latin, and nowhere there does it say Akedas Yishmael. It always said Akedas Yitzchak. And the Torah had been spread across the world, east and west. Not one ois was different. Not even the vocalization of one ois was different between the Sifrei Torah. And therefore we see that the claim that they somehow, that we somehow distorted it to make Muhammad look silly, was a ridiculous claim to make. So there were no allusions to Muhammad. Just illusions. So we had an Eidus at Sinai. Millions of people stood at Mamad al-Sinai and witnessed an interaction, an encounter with Hashem. And we had the testimony of one illiterate Arabian Bedouin in a tent. I know who I believe. So the Jews rejected it on that basis, as the Rambam. And also the Malbim says, "Shemachamid noisim dasu yishmeilim shina es adosois. Fehevir es hamoyedois." What's the major problem with Islam? The fact that they wanted to change one word of Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah. One word of the Torah had to be changed, according to them. And far more than that. And that was the ikkar problem with him. As the Rambam said, it doesn't matter that he was a goy. If any Navi comes and says that we have to take away or add to the Torah in any dimension, that's a Navi sheker. The Rambam says, a Navi cannot add anything from now. He can't institute innovation in that way. If it's a goy or a yid, even if he produces miracle upon miracle and he walks on water, and he says he's God's shliach, if he tries to change any aspect of Torah, then he's a Navi sheker. Any contradiction with Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy, that is the ideological point where Islam fails. Yishmael. Let's look at his root DNA. Let's look at his name. Pirkei di Rabbi Eliezer predicts thousands of years before the rise of Yishmael. And that's how we see its Ruach HaKodesh. They were like gypsies. It's like saying the gypsies are going to take over the White House. And I'm not talking about the one on Golders Green Road. Ruach HaKodesh, Rabbi say. Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer says, there are only two nations in the world with Hashem's name etched into their fabric of their DNA. Yisrael and Yishmael. What does this mean? Well, one pshat is that they're going to be the only two nations left at the end, and only the power of Yisrael with that kale at the end and the suffix will be able to withstand the onslaught of Yishmael. But more than that, if you look at Tanakh, and you look at Yishmael as a name, the Tzere, which gives the pronunciation to the word, or to the sounds of the word, is not under the Aleph at the end of Yishmael. The Tzere, which gives life to the sound of the silent letter, is under the Ayin. Yishma, and the Ayin's, and the Tzere is under the Ayin, and then you have the Kale at the end. With Yisrael, the Tzere is under the Aleph. The essence of Hashem being with us is reflected in our name. What in Yishmael, what do we see? The Tzere. The energy provider for that name is under the Ayin. What does Ayin mean? The superficial vision. It looks like God's with them. It looks like they've got Kael in their name. But really, that's only according to the Ayin. And the Ayin always lies. When they go onto a bus and do what they do, screaming Allah Akbar as they do it, no truer word has been said that Seyre is in the right place. It looks from, but deep down, it's for a non-from reason. It's to self-aggrandize. It's another agenda entirely. Pasuk says in Bereishis, this is unbelievable. V'yoymel o malach Hashem incho horo v'yolatet ben v'koros v'shimo Yishmael. Hashem tells Hagar, The name of a son must be Yishmael. Ki shoma Hashem el onyech v'hu yiyeh pera odom. It's going to be a wild man. Pera odom. Pshat of Yeshua leib diskin. Tzatzal. In Lashon HaKodesh we always see that the adjective comes after the noun. Odom godel. Yeled toiv. Here it's switched around. Pera, which is the adjective, is before the noun of Adam. As if to say, his mahus, the mahus of Yishmael is pera. He's a wild thing who happens to be human. The Adam is just a description of his essence. The essence being pera. Adam as a description. And we've seen this again and again. Chofetz Chaim said, the Pasuk says, v'hu yihyeh pera Adam. He will be pera Adam. Even if he's a lawyer. And even if he's a doctor, the mahus is there, l'doiris. That's the spiritual DNA of Yishmael, pera Adam. Unculus says, v'uye morad ba'anoshe v'uye tzorech l'koilo, v'af anoshe yohavan tzrichin lei, that the whole world will need Yishmael. And you only have to go into your local Shell or BP garage to know why that's true. That they indeed do have the oil, Malchus Shemayim. Everyone will need him. And his hand will be on everyone. As the Ramban says, he will wage war with all nations. Why wasn't there any spiritual gene therapy done to save Yishmael? After all, he was from Avram. The Kli Yochor gives us a mind-blowing pshat. He compares Yishmael to Esav. Rivka became pregnant. She goes past the church. One of her children are trying to get out of her stomach. She goes past the base of Midrash like this. And the other one is trying to get out. What's going on? So we have the first trade dinner. Tzvei dinim. She goes to the yeshiva. You've got two children. Shnei goyim bevitneich. Two nations reside in your womb, Rivka. Yaakov and Esav. She says, Lomo zeh anoichi. She davened. She prayed that good would come out of both her children. That even though Yaakov would have a natural proclivity to toiv, nevertheless her tefillahs needed to be upon Esav to save him somehow. And even though it didn't work in that generation. What does Rashi say bringing the Midrash? Shnei goyim bevitneich, zeh Rebbe v'Antoninus. Antoninus and Rebbe. Two great men in their own right. Antoninus became a Ger Tzedek. Even though the tefillahs of Rivka didn't help Esav, that they were implanted in the B'nai Esav, that some good could come out of them eventually. As we see in our world, far more Geirim come from the world of Esav than they have ever come from the world of Yishmael. because of the tefillahs of Rivka, they were chal on Esav. But Hagar never davened for her child. And that's why we see perhaps this polarization in our days between East and West. Daniel Hanavi had a dream of four animals representing the four Goliaths: Bovel, Poras, Yovan, and Edoim, Rome. Reb Chaim Vital famously says that there will be a fifth, Golas Yishmael. A Golas within a Golas, a dream within a dream. That in the days of Edoim, in the Roman exile, there will be a fifth clutching onto the legs of Rome, Golas Yishmael. Just like we see on Seder night with the Arab Kaisis, Keneged the Arab Lashonah Shal Geula, for it says, Si Vitzalti Vigalti Vilakachti. There's a fifth one, Veivesi. The fifth cup for Eliyahu HaNavi, which is the harbinger of the Mashiach. You see, this is also Keneged these five Goliaths. And somehow that fifth, unwritten Veivesi, is lurking there and is waiting. This is what we're in. The Zohar says that the Golas of Yishmael will be the hardest to take. V'ein l'cha Golas koshali Yisrael k'moy Golas Yishmael. There will be no harder exile for the Jews than this Golas we're in now. Because they have an independent strength from their bris and their relationship to Avram. They're strong even independent of our Aveiras. And it's even mutter to daven in a mosque if they wouldn't kill you. And all this violence in the name of Hashem. But it's all been predicted. Ruach HaKodesh, Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, said that they will build a structure on Har HaBayis. Thousands of years. When no one would have dreamt that these gypsies would become a great nation. It's all there in the Torah. Chazal are telling us, wake up. It's coming. Be prepared. So perhaps in the last section I'd like to share with you four etzas, perhaps approaches that we can adopt to survive this Golas within a Golas, a dream within a dream, Golas Yishmael. The Rambam says in Ageras Taimon again, that Yishmael had three sons. What were their names? Mishma, Duma, Masa. Mishma is Loshon Shmia, to hear. Duma is to be silent. Masa, to bear, to carry. And he told the Bnei Taimon, that this is the approach you have to have. You have to listen, be silent, and endure. If we wage a physical war, if we try to get together an army to wage war against Ishmaelim, it's not going to work, says the Rambam. Hashem has brought this to Kufa for us to focus on our avoda without having to physically threaten anyone. So how do we do this? If you look in the Arizal, there's a zemer that he penned for the first Shabbos Suda on Friday night. And it says like this, Yumina usmoila ubeinayu kala. On the right and to the left, and in the middle, the kala. The bride. The Shabbos kala. Slightly terse, slightly opaque, vague. What does this mean? Friday became the Islamic Shabbos. Sunday became the Christian Shabbos. To the left and to the right. That's where they are. We're in the middle. The golden mean, that balance. The Tiferes. The path of Emes. Not the distorted left and right. We know in Kabbalah, right is always Chesed. Gevurah is always in the left. And that's why we see that when the Torah was offered to these two nations, Esav and Yishmael, they had too much left and too much right. What does it say, they said, if you're going to offer me the Torah? It says, you can't kill. I don't want to depart from the minhag of Esav. So I'm not going to keep it, says Esav. What else does it say? Yishmael comes and asks, what does it say in the Torah? You can't commit adultery. I'm sorry, but I have too much chesed. When chesed spills over, you know, you have to share with everybody. I don't want to keep this Torah of yours. The Vilna Gaon says an amazing pshat, by the way, in Nasa V'Nishma. Even though Yishmael, in their name, they've got the Loshon Shoma. They were the followers. They are able to follow instructions the best. But they rejected it. So too with Esav. Esav is Loshon Asiya. La'asois, to do. They were the great doers to go out and build bridges and roads. But they both rejected the Torah. Hashem comes to Klal Yisrael. Offers them the Torah. They say, Na'aseh V'Nishma. Nasa keneged Esav. V'nishma keneged Yishmael. Even though we're not the natural doers, we're not the natural hearers. We're the ones who got it, and that's exactly why we used it in those phrases. Nasa v'nishma. Vilna Gaon. So they are to Akbar. We've got to adopt our classical Jewish trait of the mean path to glory. Balance. Balancing the concept of truth and peace. Think about the concept of tact. Balancing truth and peace in this world to make harmony, to bring the middle of Tiferes. This is how we make our Kiddush Hashem. The third Eitzah is the concept of Lishma. Doing things because Hashem said so. It's very hard in this democratic era where no one can bend the knee to anyone to really capture the concept and the idea, the notion of Lishma, to do things not for 70 pesulas. We do things because Hashem was mitzava us to do it, building a relationship between us and Him. Back to Yisrael and Yishmael. Yisrael means he will struggle with God. Yishmael, he will be heard. God will hear. If you go out in the street and you meet a stranger, you're very unlikely to struggle with that person. You come home, and when you're surrounded by friends and family, that's when we get emotional. That's when we sometimes get into arguments. Not because we don't love that person, it's because we love that person. Because we care about them, we care for their welfare. There's an engagement, there's a relationship. Yisrael means we struggle. We struggled with Hashem. There's a real bond, a real working relationship. Anyone can hear the other person, Yishmael. Yes, Hashem hears. Does he struggle? Does he engage? Is there a real relationship? That's the difference between Yisrael and Yishmael. So we've got to impact upon that relationship and build it at its very basis through the concept of Lishma, doing things because Hashem said so, not for any fantastic prize in the next world. We know that Iran is Persia. Poras. You can't be an Eved. Almanas lekabel pras. Their whole ideology is based on what's going to happen at the end. They're going to get their basilis. They're going to be waiting for that pras, Lashon prize. They're going to get their prize. We're not doing it for that. You have to be an Eved who's not doing Almanas Lekabel pras. But I think that the last perspective we have to have is what I promised you in the beginning, which was to look at Yishmael in the context of Ikvus of the Mashiach. In the footsteps of Mashiach, according to one opinion in Sanhedrin, Mashiach has to come by the year 6000. So we're not too far away. But based on the Pasuk in Micha, Chazal tell us that the Geula period before the coming of Mashiach could be symmetrical to the Geulas Mitzrayim and the Shivat Mitzrayim, that there were going to be 400 years of build-up to the Geula, just like back in those days. If we look at, of course, 400 years before the year 6000, that brings us to 5600. What happened then? It's around 1839, 1840. That's exactly when Wahhabi Islam came into effect, when this more militant jihad, extremist group, took over the religion. Not only that, but the Industrial Revolution. The Zohar says, in the Ikvus of the Mashiach, the world is going to rapidly change like never before. There's going to be a geometric, exponential growth in knowledge and wisdom in the world. And as we see now, who would have imagined a world so technologically advanced with such progress at the same time? This coming together of East and West, this polarization, and the onslaught of Islam in our days in Golas Yishmael, all predicted in this 400-year build-up to, according to that pshat in Sanhedrin, coming of Mashiach. And we certainly need the chizuk to withstand the challenge. To see this as part of Hashem's plan. The Yalkut Shemoyni says an unbelievably strengthening and morale boosting vort. He says at the end of days, Yalkut Shemoyni, and here I quote, V'choyzer melech pras u'machrives kol ha'olam. Persia will come and destroy the world. And the Yidden won't know what to do. But Hashem says, V'oymer lahem, Bonai, my son, Al Tisro, don't fear. Ki kol mash osisi, lo osisi ela bishvilchem. Everything I'm doing for you. Why are you worried? This is your zman of Geula. V'loika Geula Roshoina. This Geula that's coming will not be like the Geula Rishoyna in Mitzrayim. Geula Achroina, ki Geula Rishoyna haya lechem tza v'shibit malchiyas achareho. There were many, many persecutions of Yidden after Shibud and Geulas Mitzrayim. Aval Geula Achroina, but the Geula that will happen at the end of days, the one that's coming, ein lechem tza v'shibit malchiyas achareho. There'll be no suffering afterwards. Shonu Rabbi Senu, our rabbis taught, B'shah Shemelech HaMashiach Bo, when Mashiach comes, you know what's going to happen? Picture this imagery. Bo Oymed Al Gag Beis HaMikdash. He will stand on the roof of the Beis HaMikdash. And he will proclaim forth before the people. V'umashmir lehem liYisrael. He'll say to Klal Yisrael, V'oymer, Anuyim, ones who have been devastated in anguish, Higiyaz Man Gulaschem. Your time of redemption has come. And then the Yalkut Shemoni goes on to say that every goy will grab onto the coattails of a yid, saying, take me to your leader. Bring me to Hashem. We've got to have pride, Rabbi Isai. In our Amunah, in our Yiddishkeit, I leave you with a real life story. I went to Stratford-upon-Avon for Shabbos. And we were sharing a cottage with another family. They were in the upstairs, separate entrance, and we were in the downstairs. We didn't know who this family were going to be. And we're having our Shabbos lunch, and my son, Betzalel, looks out of the window and sees our new neighbors. Fully clad with the Shemoneh Begodin, Islamic people, Muslim family, dressed in the garb which only shows the eyes. And before that point, I'd been slightly embarrassed of being a Yid. I didn't want to admit to the landlord immediately that I was Jewish. In fact, he knew some people from around Golders Green. He works in the jewelry business. So my cover was blown anyway. I was wearing my cap and hiding my Yiddishkeit. They showed no fear, these people. Just pride. Total fearlessness. And I realized at that point, we also have to have this middah. This middah of being proud, not because we want to self-aggrandize, not because of haughtiness, but because we're representing Hashem with the true Messiah from Sinai, with no distortions. And with this honor and with this covered our Torah, we can actually be part of this glorious era, which although it might seem frightening, is ultimately leading to Higiyaz Man Gulaschem. Our redemption is coming. And Bezuchus, our efforts, we should all merit a speedy redemption in our days.